Tonight, I'm going to look at some scripture out of 1 Kings chapter 17, 1 through 7. And it may be a story that some of you don't even know existed. But hopefully tonight it will be an encouragement to you guys. Before we get started, let me pray again. Just the Lord will set our heart that we may be able to hear from you. So let's pray. Father God, thank you for everyone who's tuned in tonight on this call. Thank you for your love for us. And I pray again as we open up your word, that you might open up our hearts, that we might hear from you. And Lord Jesus, we might see how you work in other people's lives and how you've worked in people's lives in the Bible, that you are the God that doesn't change, that you are the same yesterday, today, and forever. And we can take assurance in your word. So I pray, oh Father God, you might speak to us through your word tonight. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. So guys, if you want to, you can look at, again, 1 Kings. It's in the Old Testament. Chapter 17, we're going to primarily look at verses 1 through 7. But I just want to, the introduction of this, I've titled this Elijah, Someone Like You. Elijah was a prophet in the Old Testament. But there's an insight into who he is, and I get this title from James, actually, chapter 5, 17 and 18. I want to read that. It says, Elijah was a man with a nature like ours, and he prayed fervently that it might not rain. And for 3 years and 6 months, it did not rain on the earth. Then he prayed again, and the heavens gave rain, and the earth bore its fruit. I want to tune in on this little phrase. He says, Elijah was a man with a nature like ours. So James is writing in the New Testament. He's talking about this prophet in the Old, and he said, Elijah was one of those guys who did many miracles. His life story is amazing if you study it. But he says he was a man like us. And what does that mean? Just like us, he was a man with fears. He was a man with doubts, emotions, confusion. But the thing about Elijah, and one thing I want to point out to you guys, is that he remained faithful to what God said. In the midst of chaos, he gets chased. He's the number one wanted man in the nation. He has a most wanted poster out on him, all kind of crazy things. Yet, it comes back to his walk with God and his faithfulness to him. All of you who are athletes are familiar probably with the term an impact player, right? And so an impact player, many of you are impact players. I'm going to brag a little bit about my wife. When she was in high school, she was an impact player. She was an All-American basketball player. She was All-State, all the things that many of you guys were. And one of the things that you know, if you're a basketball player, especially in high school, they run a box in one, right? It's a zone defense with one person playing man-to-man, and they try to stop. They usually run a box in one if someone is a great scorer. Why? Because he or she is an impact player, and they have to do something special to try to stop her. Well, I believe God has called all of us to be impact players for him. And I think we can learn how to do that and what that looks like through the story of Elijah. So I'm going to introduce you to this man of faith. We're going to see how that God used this ordinary man, this ordinary person, to do extraordinary things as he became an impact player for the faith. And so as we look at this, I want to read verse 1. It's sort of first time this guy Elijah, this prophet, comes onto the playing field. Verse 1 says this. Now Elijah the Tishbite of Tishbe in Gilead said to Ahab, as the Lord God of Israel lives, before whom I stand, there shall be neither dew nor rain these years except by my word. So what in the world does that mean? What is he saying? Just to give you a little backdrop of what's taking place, Ahab was a king in the nation of Israel, and he was a wicked king. There's one verse earlier in chapter 17 that talks about that Ahab, he did more to provoke the Lord than all the kings of Israel before him. He was an evil king. He was a guy who kind of tried to walk the line. He would say, I worship the God of Israel, but then he worshiped and brought this false worship into the nation called this worship of Baal. It was an idol. And so he was not a good guy. So basically this idol, Baal, was a fertility goddess, a goddess of rain, a god of the elements, supposedly. So what he is doing is he's brought this worship, this false worship, this false faith into the faithful, and it's caused havoc. And so one of the other things that this guy Ahab, and this sort of brings the backdrop of the story of who he's talking to. I don't know about you, but sometimes when you can go in before someone who has a lot of power, a lot of prestige, maybe a head coach or someone who is powerful, it can be an intimidating factor, right? Well, Elijah wasn't intimidated. Here was a man who was the most powerful person in the nation. He was the king. And here was Elijah, who really at this point nobody ever even heard of. And he steps into the palace and he says, basically, king, because of your wickedness, God is bringing judgment. And because you brought this rain god into this nation and encouraged people to worship this false god, God's going to really show you who he is and that he is in control of the elements, and it's not going to rain. And so it's not going to rain actually for 3 years. And so as we look at this, one of the things that I want to share with you is the name Elijah itself. His very name means Jehovah is my God. His name was a testimony. So by even him saying, I am Elijah, and he goes on, before the God that I stand, he was saying, this is who I serve. My faith is in God, the God of Israel, the true God. And it reminds me, and it should remind us, to ask the question, what does my name mean? When I'm around other people, when I'm around teammates, when people who really know who I am and they hear my name, what's the first thing that might come to their mind? It can be a very sobering thought, right? What does that look like? How does that feel? When people hear my name, what comes to mind? What is my character that they know me? What does that reveal? Well, this man Elijah, when his name came up, it meant a follower of God, the true God. Jehovah is my God. You see, his God is alive and active. That's what his name meant. He sees all we do. He hears all we say. And he had a relationship with God. It wasn't just a theological understanding. It was a true relationship with his God. So his God gave him faith to make a stand. That's one of the things I want to encourage you guys with in the midst of the chaos: to trust Jesus, to lean on him, to let your faith in him give you strength to be the man or woman God's created you to be, and not even what those around you think you should be, but who does God say you are, and live that out. That was Elijah. That's what he did. His faith gave him courage. And that's something we all need to hear as we do our day-to-day life, as you go to school, as you go to practice, as you interact with your teammates and your classmates, to let your faith give you courage, just like Elijah learned that his faith in God gave him enough courage to face the most powerful man in his world at that time, in his region. Again, Elijah was a man who stood for his faith. He didn't know the future, but he knew the God who knew the future, and he was secure in that. All of us don't know the future, but we can take encouragement in the fact that our Lord and Savior does know the future, and I can trust in him because he loved me so much that he gave his life for me. And so that's one of the things we can learn as we look at this. We have two people at play here. Ahab, who was the most powerful man in the world, but really Elijah was more powerful because he walked with God. And so we see this taking place. We see him doing this. And you see, Ahab's name meant something too. When people heard the name of Ahab, they would think compromise, a bad leader. He works for a false god. Some of you may have heard the name Jezebel. I don't know anyone who's named Jezebel now. I don't know any women who are named Jezebel. And that's a good reason. It's usually you call somebody that, it's not a good term, right? Well, it comes from his wife, because his wife influenced Ahab to bring in this false worship, because that's who she worshiped. She was from another country and another land who worshiped this false god. And actually, when she was married to Ahab, she went out and killed preachers. She went out and sought prophets and killed them because she was trying to do away with any influence of their god. And so that's kind of what he steps into. This is the audience he has taken a stand of faith for. And so as we continue down, as we look at the next couple of verses in this, we're going to see in verse 2, let's look at that. It says, and the word of the Lord came to him, in verse 3, depart from here and turn eastward and hide yourself by the brook. So I want to stop there because, again, one of the things we see is the fact that Elijah walked with God, he heard from God, and he obeyed what God said. So the first thing is this. I want to see the procedure of faith. What do I mean by that? We see in verse 2 that the word of the Lord came to him. He was in relationship with him. So it's like us. When we're in relationship with Jesus, we read his word, we walk with him, he puts impressions on our heart. He communicates with us. And so the word of God came to him, and he acted on it. You see, God always knows the next step we need to take. We may not know that, but he does. It's like Kristen gave testimony tonight. She didn't know what the next step was, but God showed it to her. And she's living that out. And that helps her grow in her faith. She heard, she listened, obeyed, and now she's growing in her faith. And so that's what we see taking place in Elijah. You see, again, God always knows the next step we need to take. To take that step that will help us grow in our faith. Psalms 119 says this, your word is a lamp to my feet and a light for my path. So we find that in Psalms 119. So what does that mean? It says God doesn't always basically tell us what's going to be ahead for us for the next 2 or 3 years. But if you're walking with him, as Elijah was walking with him, he says, I promise to show you the next step. The next step to take. Hear my word, obey my word, and you understand the next step I've called you to. And so that's what we see Elijah taking place. So in verse 5, what does he do? What does he hear from this? He says again in verse 5, so he went and did according to the word of the Lord. So he hears the word, and then he obeys the word. He goes forward. He takes a step of faith. We've talked a little bit about faith a couple of weeks ago. And what it looks like and taking a step of faith in your foundation. And so we see his faithfulness and obedience. Again, he did what God said. I read this quote and I want to pass it on. It says this, some say faith is a gift of God. So is the air, but you have to breathe it. So is bread, but you have to eat it. Some are wanting some miraculous kind of sign or feeling. That's not really biblical faith. What is biblical faith? And in Romans 10:17, it says this, faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God. Again, listen to that. Faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God. So the Lord is speaking. He says, listen to me, and then you obey what I say. There is a faith that comes from, it's not from me sitting down and waiting, but it's actually from me hearing and taking God at his word. Believing what he says. You know, it's kind of like this. If you guys study in your sport, you study film, the coach tells you what to do, where to go. But if you can listen to that, but if you don't apply it, it doesn't do any good. It's the same thing with our walk with Christ. We can hear teaching, we hear preaching, we can hear God's word, we can read God's word. But the next step is obeying his word. And that's when faith and reality come together and you see him act in our lives and through our lives. And so we see again, this is what Elijah did. You see, basically God sent him into hiding. He said, listen to me. He's just made this statement before this most powerful king. Now he says, now I'm going to take care of you, Elijah. I'm going to help you grow in your faith. He hears the word and he obeys the word. So he went and did according to what he did. And so now what we're going to look at kind of is the provision of faith. His provision. So let's jump back down to the scripture. In verse 5 again, it says, so he went and did according to the word of the Lord. He went and lived by the brook Cherith, that is east of Jordan. And the ravens brought him bread and meat in the morning and bread and meat in the evening. And he drank from the brook. And after a while, the brook dried up because there was no rain in the land. And so, again, the big picture, there's no rain in the land. There's a drought. But yet God is taking care of the man in the midst of this drought. And I want to encourage you with this. In the midst of the chaos, God will take care of you if you trust him. It may not look like what you think it should look like, but he's going to show up. if you place your faith in him and believe what he says, just like he did in Elijah, because our God doesn't change. So the provision of faith. You see, Elijah had to be in the place God told him to go. If he was in the wrong place, he would miss what God had for him at that time. Again, it's just like a coach who challenges the defense to be in the right place at the right time. He says, if you do that, you'll be successful. But if you don't, you're going to be in the wrong gap when the ball is snapped in football. You won't make the play. And so he had to be in the right place. He was in the right place. He went where God told him to be. And so, again, it's something we can learn in application. Where is God calling you? What does he want you to do? Where does he want you to be? Don't miss God's best plan for you. You see, Elijah could have rejected that. Then he wouldn't have been fed because he wouldn't have been where God told him to go. And so we see the provision of faith. In Luke 16:10, it says this, "One who is faithful in very little is also faithful in much. And one who is dishonest in a very little is also dishonest in much." So what, and you know, you know this is true. You know, I try to teach my son, you do the small things and it makes big things happen. That's a principle that is true. It holds true in athletics. It holds true in academics. You do the small things, it makes the big things happen. That, in essence, is what the scripture is saying. Those who are faithful in a little will also be faithful in much. So it's taking steps. Trusting God for the next step, believing what he says and then acting on it. Because you don't want to be in the wrong place. And a lot of times we do get in the wrong place. But again, our God is faithful, even if you're in the wrong place right now, to get you back in the right place. We see that demonstrated in scripture oftentimes. King David was a man who was after God's own heart. But yet, what happened? He was in the wrong place one time. He should have been leading his army into battle. Instead, he stayed back and sent somebody else to do his job. What happened? He ended up committing adultery. He ended up committing murder. Tragedy took place because he didn't do what God told him to do. He was in the wrong place at the wrong time. For those of you who may have known the story of Samson in the Bible, he was a man God used tremendously. But yet, many times he ended up in the wrong place at the wrong time because he disobeyed what God said. He ended up losing his hair, losing his testimony, losing his eyes, and ultimately losing his life because he was in the wrong place at the wrong time. You see, God wants our best for us. That's why he says, "Listen, I love you more than anyone else can or will. Trust in what I have for you. Believe what I say. I've got great and marvelous things I want to say and do through you." Just like he did through Elijah. He wants you to be an impact player. As I want to share a story with you about provision. Many of you know we adopted our little girl, Ani, from China. When we first got Ani in China, she was very sick and hungry. We went over there, we took Noah with us, and we got her from the orphanage. We brought her. We had to stay in China for 2 weeks in the process. But one of the things that we discovered very quickly, that food was a major issue for Ani. Because in the orphanage, and she was 2 and a half when we got her, when the Lord graciously brought my daughter into our life. And there were certain times that they had to eat and go to the bathroom. I mean, it was regimen, right? They would put them on scooters. There would be 3 little babies on one scooter for hours at a time. And so when the food was placed in front of them, it was there for a certain amount of time. And if it wasn't eaten during that time, then it was taken away. And so that's what she come with that. This is a 2 and a half year old. So food was like, I remember when she first ate, it was heartbreaking in one sense to watch. She would eat so fast because she was afraid we were going to take away her food. But one of the things we started to do is we started to give her a little bag of snacks, a little bag of Cheerios that she could carry with her wherever she went. And she would carry that little bag of snacks with her. Even if she wasn't eating, just having that bag gave her security because she knew she could eat at any point and any time. Because she'd had so little to eat in the orphanage. But pretty soon, she began to trust Kim and I. And after a while, she no longer needed that bag of snacks. Because she had come to trust and know that we would feed her when she was hungry. And I share this story because this is the lesson God was teaching Elijah. That his security was not in the provision, but in God himself. Listen to that again. This is a lesson God was teaching Elijah, that his security was not in the provision, but in God himself. Just like Ani's security wasn't in that bag of Cheerios, but we had to teach her that her provision was in us. That's a great lesson we can learn about our Savior. Our security is not in what he provides for us. Our security is actually in our relationship with him as the good Heavenly Father. And that's what he was teaching Elijah. He says, you've made a statement of faith. You stood up. You did what I said. Now I'm going to take care of you. Listen to what I say. Go by this river. Sit by this brook. I'm going to satisfy your thirst. I'm going to actually have birds bring you food. I'm going to provide for you so that you can believe what I say. Act on what I say. And this helped Elijah grow in his faith. To later on, in 3 years, he would make a stand against the whole nation and fight, really, almost a whole army of people and win because he believed God. So what does this look like? Well, some of the lessons we can learn. One is this. What steps of faith do you need to believe about Jesus and what he's asking of you? What is he asking of you? You can trust what he's saying. You can trust what he's calling you to. Again, you don't want to be in the wrong place at the wrong time. You don't want to miss what God has in store for you. You don't want to not be an impact player in your faith because that's where you find joy and peace and even satisfaction because he is the one who declares who you are, not your coach, not teachers, not your teammates, but him, because he has created you in his image. And so again, I ask myself, and I ask you, what do you rely upon? Who do you put your faith in? When the game is over, the crowd is gone, where does your faith really lie? Well, so many of us get our identity in what we do instead of who God says we are. And that'll mess us up every time. So I want to encourage you, discover what God says is true about you. Believe what he says is true about you. And it will change your life because your foundation will no longer be on things that crumble, but will be upon Christ and his saving grace. Be a man or a woman like Elijah who had faith in God. Faith in his word, and he acted on it. I'm going to leave you with a quote some of you have probably heard before from me who've been around, but it's by C.S. Lewis. It's one of my favorite quotes from him, and it says this. I believe in Christianity as I believe in the sun. The sun has risen, not only because I see it, but because by it I see everything else. The sun shows us many things, the physical sun, the light. We can see around us. We can see the beauty of God's creation. We can see where danger is. We see everything else by the light of the sun. But I challenge you as well as myself, let us see everything else in the light of Christ and his faith and our faith in him. By everything else, we should see and experience life through the eyes of Christ. Then you begin to really see that following Christ isn't about religious rituals. It's about walking with God there.